I am so excited to be with you here this morning, and I want to start my time saying thank you to all the mothers, speaking not as a mom, but speaking as a daughter. Thank you to all the mothers that are here with us today and the ones who are watching us on the internet, that my mom is included in that too. So we want all to give you a big applause of thank you for all you've done and you do during this year. I tell you this, I have felt so blessed in this church. Every single woman that I have interacted have been a blessing in my life here. And I'm sure that you are such a blessing to many others in your community. And I also want to recognize part of our Spanish service congregation is here with us. So I want to say bienvenidos. I'm so glad, estoy contenta de que estén aquí conmigo hoy en esta mañana. And I also wanted to introduce you. There's some students from Christ for the Nations. It's an institute, missionary institute in Dallas, and they're here with us. So I want to say thank you, welcome. I'm glad that you are here. Quiero dar la bienvenida a los estudiantes de CFNI, que bueno que están con nosotros. I think they went to the bathroom or something like that, but they're here. All right, so after all those introductions, I want to start with a story that is, it's funny and sad at the same time. And so for you not to make the same mistake that I made, I'm going to give you this this story. So when I was young, this Mother's Day, actually, this year, yesterday, it was so special to me because for the first time, I got a gift from Mireille, my daughter, who took her a whole week to make. She was in her room, and she was, like, working really hard and saying, Mommy, I'm making an art project. And yesterday, she gave me the art project that she was working on. It was a card for me. And it made me remember. It was so precious to me. And it made me remember one day that when I was around her age, I wanted to do something special for my mom. So I saved money. Somehow I met this lady who was good in crafts. And she taught me how to do a basket out of ribbons, a basket in a towel. So back in the 90s, you know, we did a lot of that decoration in our bathrooms. So I made this basket. It took me months to make. And this lady was, you know, very, she wanted me to learn, I should say. She did not help me. she didn't do it for me. I needed to learn how to make it. And I finally finished the project and I gave it to my mom on Mother's Day. And that was the first time I gave a gift to my mom, and my mom cried. Because when I told her, she asked me, so who made this? And I said, it was me. She couldn't believe it. So she cried. She was so, you know, proud. And she cried and she put it in the bathroom. But that was the gift that made her cry twice. Because then she was teaching me how to do laundry. So I put everything in the washer machine with the towel. So I ruined the towel. So she cried again because I ruined the gift that I have given her. So for you not to have the same experience, I'm going to have, at the end of the sermon, I'm going to have some ideas of Mother's Day's gift that you can give today. Well, let's go to the Bible. Let's go to Samuel chapter 1, 8 to 18. Samuel chapter 1, 8 to 18. Let's go to the Word of God. Her husband, Elkanah, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why don't you not eat? Why is your heart sad? I am not more than 10 sons. After they had eaten and drunk in Silo, Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. Now, Eli the priest, was sitting at the bedside of the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow, O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, you will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite. Until the day of my death, he shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, no razor should touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying silently, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman deeply in trouble. I have drunk neither wine or strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation of all this time." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your sight." Then the woman went to her quarters and ate and drank with her husband, and her continence was sad not longer. This is the word of God for the people of God. Lord, we ask you that you open our eyes today to see you. Celebrate what you have done in our lives so we can celebrate all the abundant things that you have given us, all that is around us, and to see life as you see it, Lord. We pray that you allow us to see you even in the hard times and let us encounter you sincerely today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's mother's God's gift to the world. First, I want to make clear that you are not a God's gift to the world because you are a mom. You are a God's gift because who you are. So regardless of what age you are, regardless of what gender you are, I want to tell you, you are God's gift. But we have the potential to be God's gift to our community and families, and that's it, or to the whole world. But to become a gift to the world, there's some things that have to happen within us for God to fulfill his purpose in our lives. And that's what we're going to talk about, how we become that gift to the world. We already are a gift. Again, men are also a gift, but we're not talking about them today, all right? We're talking about women. So women, you are a gift to the world. Men, you as well. Don't leave sore today. You are a gift too. But today we're going to talk about women. So Pastor, he's laughing, right? He's a gift too. So Hannah was a very interesting, it's an interesting woman. First, I read this passage over and over again. I have heard a lot of sermons about it. And I always thought that Hannah was a bitter woman because of what she didn't have. But that's not what the text said. First, it says that she was married to this man, Elkah, and there's a lot of information in that passage that tells us that he was a worthy man. He was a man who had a lot of resources, and you can see it in the offerings that they bring to the to Jerusalem and then also to the temple, and also we can see it that he was a very considerate man. Even though his wife couldn't have children, he loved her. And every time they made this this walk and these offerings to the temple, and the way that they worship is they bring the animals, and the animals were sacrificed, and then they were cooked in the temple. And as a part of the worship, you will give a part of that cooked meal to the priest, and also you will eat it there as a part of your worship. So eating and fasting with the sacrifice that you bring, it was part of the worship. So they, because of what they bring and because of, we can gather information that she was a woman who had the love of her husband and had resources and had a good life. But even with that, she was not content. And then every time they made this trip to the temple to worship God, she was reminded by Penina, I changed the names of people, to the other wife. She was reminded all the time. She remembered that she was childless. And that made her feel discontent. But I'm sure that she had the desire of being a mom even before she got married. She was born with that desire, and it wasn't happening. So she got married to make it happen, but it didn't work. I'm sure she used resources of her family to make it happen, but it didn't work. And it was this lady, in that moment of worship, reminded her constantly of what she didn't have. Hannah means graceful or full of grace, but Hannah, or favored, but Anna did not feel favored. Even though she had everything, she had a loving husband, and the tension of a loving husband, she did not feel complete. She felt like something was missing. And she couldn't find it. She couldn't find it in her marriage. She couldn't find it in their relationships. And it's very interesting because she was not an aggressive woman. Because I tell you, if you put two women together and one is bullying the other one because somebody's going to say something, you know? And there's a lot of tension. And before, when we read the Bible, sometimes we read these stories and you're like, of course she was bitter. She was sharing her husband. But back then, in that moment, that was something that it was common in the culture of that day. This day, you don't do that if you want to leave, right? A peaceful life, at least a peaceful life. So this man had this struggle in the family. Had two women, and one was always bothering. Even though he was favoring Anna, there was always that struggle. So that day, she said enough. He says here, when I start reading to you, that she was sitting and listening to Penina, and she was feeling really aggravated. And instead of standing up and saying, shut up, and going off to her, she got sad, and she started crying. And her spirit was so sad that she didn't eat. She could not worship. She could not connect to what was going on. She could not be thankful to God because she had a need that she had buried for a long time and was trying to numb herself, and now it became very evident. So she did something that changed her life completely. She substituted her pain, her sorrow, her self-pity with prayer. She decided to, instead of concentrate on what she didn't have, of concentrating on the pain of not having what she wanted, she put God first. And she went to his presence. And the Bible says that she poured out her heart to God. So she stopped there. Oh, I feel so sad about me. Why me? Why I cannot have this? I can have everything but not this. She stopped that attitude. And she went straight to the presence of God. And Pastor Andrew brought something to my attention. It is true. This is the first prayer that is recorded that was not spoken. This is a prayer that is recorded in the Bible, and she didn't speak it out. She had it in her heart, but she was praying so hard and so with her decision made of what she believed and what she wanted, that God listened to her. So the first thing that Hannah did to become a gift, she stopped feeling sorry for herself and did something. The only thing that she could do, finally, I'm going to pray. I'm going to give it up to God. And it's very interesting. As I was preparing this message, I was listening to this pastor talking about an experience like this. And he was saying that his wife and him they wanted to have a child for a long time, and they prayed about it, and they were certain. But they haven't given God the concern. They will pray and they will keep the sadness. They will pray and keep the concern. They will pray, and the day that they say, Lord, we want to be parents, and even if you do it through adoption or being foster parents, however you do it, we are willing. And that day, they received that peace. And within a month, she was pregnant. So sometimes it's about pouring your heart. Sometimes it's about letting go the expectations of how you want God to move in your life. She decided, you know what? This is what I want. She declared her need. This is what I want. And she prayed sincerely. Then she was praying so passionately that her priest thought that she was drunk. So he said, come on, woman, why are you drunk here? And that was the perfect moment for her to get offended again. I would be offended if I was here crying my heart out and Pastor Andrew would come and say, why are you drunk? I'd be offended. But this woman looked at him and say, no, listen, this is my need and this is what I'm asking God to do. And he saw that sincerely faith, and he blessed her. So she did not take offense of the situation. Many times we cannot move on, ladies, because we take offense of the situation. Why is my husband like this? Why are my children like this? Because they are you, Penina. They're pushing you to go to the presence. They're pushing you to depend on the only source of true healing. So she did not take offense of that situation, and then she decided to rest in God. It's beautiful how she got up after she received the blessing from Eli. She said, okay, great. I put it out. It's going to be in your timing. If you do it, great. If not, too. And she went on her day. It says that she ate and drank with her family. She decided to be happy regardless of the outcome. She decided to put God first and said, I'm going to rest in you however you want to do it. And then she started to worship. It meant that she changed the perspective. And then she became happy. What happened? They went back home and they got to do the homework, right? And she became pregnant. So the number thing that she did, she committed to the process. In chapter 1, verse 11, it says that she made a vow. That when she was giving this to God, she said, I'm going to commit to your process. And if you do this for me, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you first. And not only she was going to give her child to God, but she was going to raise a prophet. A man who was going to be dedicated for God. She encountered her purpose. Her purpose was to be the mother of a prophet who was going to be the last ruler of the people of Israel. The last prophet ruler, because then Saul came and became a king. But he was the last prophet who was a ruler, a righteous man, a man who was after God's heart, a man who found David within then, after years and generations, Jesus came. Her purpose was bigger that she thought. Her purpose was greater than what she thought. Your purpose and my purpose is a lot bigger than what we can think. But unless we pour our hearts out, unless we are honest and we commit to him, we commit to him in faith and saying, let your will be done, and I'm just going to go along with the ride, we will not be the gift. But she became that gift. She made, not only she commit to the process, but she also made a covenant and a pact with him. If you do this for me, I'm going to give him to you. And I don't know about you, but if I think of giving my children for Pastor Andrew to raise, that would be something, you know, very heartbreaking. Not because he's a bad man, but because I cannot live with him anymore. He's not going to see him every day. But she was giving so she was telling God, I'm going to give you this that I love the most, this that I wanted the most, I'm going to give it back to you. Until we get into that place, many things will not break in our hearts, in our lives. There's a lot of things that are keeping you. There are things that are keeping you from what you are asking God to do because you need to put him first. So once she put him first, she went back home. And then she received her blessing, and she raised a man of God. She fulfilled, so she made she committed to the process, and number three, she fulfilled her vow. She raised a man of God. When she had win him, she took him with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an orphan of flour and skin of wine. She thought she brought him to the house of the Lord of Shiloh, and the child was young. So she was bringing not only him, she brought things to make bread and wine. Does that sound familiar? She brought bread and wine in a bowl of 3-year-old. So I think that Samuel was probably that age to be raised in the temple. So what we can learn from Hannah to becoming that by committing to the process, by pouring our heart to God, by the faith that we place in God, we can give birth to the gift of God for humanity. What you are doing is important. Raising kids is very important. But I tell you, if you haven't been able to be a mom yet, there's a lot of ways. There's a lot of ways that you can be that blessing and that mom. There's a purpose in you, and it's never too late to live the purpose of God. Ask Noah or Moses, who were called in their 80s or 120. There's a lot of people who were called in their old age, and there's a lot of people who were called from the beginning. But whatever you do, you are the gift of God as you give yourself to him and put him first. And before I close today, I told you that I was going to give you a Mother's Day gift list. In this time, you know, we all get anxious. Why should I give my mom? Why should I give my mom? And I thought of gifts that I would like to receive. And I thought about these three. And this is something that you can do, even if your mom is not longer with you. This is something that you can do for her as well. Number one is to forgive. Woman, we are not perfect. We can admit that. And we made mistakes. And sometimes we say things that come out in the wrong way. So we are asking our children and our husband, please forgive us. And if your mom is not longer with you, forgive her. Give yourself the gift of forgiving her for whatever she missed out. Number two is listen. We don't get enough listening. This woman was needing, Hannah was needing to somebody to connect with her need. And her husband said, am I not enough for you? Is my love not better than 10 children? He was not listening. He was not listening. So please listen. Listen to the what is behind the words. Listen to the needs. And not only by the words, but by the acts of the lady next to you. So listen. We need to be listened to. And number three, trust. Trust is very important for relationships. And trust that your mom, whatever she said, she did it for you to have a better life. Maybe she did it in the wrong way. Maybe she didn't do it in the way that you wanted her to do it. But trust that it came from a good place. And when you give us those three gifts, and if you give to your mom, wherever she is, today, as you remember her, forgive anything that she has done. Listen to the words and the experiences that you lived with her, and trust that she came from a good place. And trust the good advice. I tell you, all the advice that my mom always gave me, however they sounded, as many times they sounded really crazy, they worked. I remember she will always say, leave early so the train is not going to get you stuck in traffic and blah, blah, blah. And Mom, I got this cover. I know what time I should leave. And lo and behold, the train was early. She told me to leave. And I'm like, no, I know what time the train. And the train was early, and I got stuck. So every time she asked me, she told me, oh, don't be careful with this person and that person. And she was always right. I was like, no, you don't know him. Oh, you don't know her as I know her. Yeah, she knew. So listen from, you know, open heart. So let's go to God in prayer. Lord, thank you for the example that you have placed in front of us of the faith of Hannah. Help us as moms to trust you with our children and trust that the process that you have put us in will have a good outcome, not because of us, because you are good. because you are a good father and will take care of all things. Help us to be submissive to you. Help us to pour our hearts to you and trust that in due time, your blessings will come. Lord, we pray for everybody here who may not have a good relationship with their moms, and today's a hard day. We pray, Father, that your healing is in their hearts today, and that they will be able to forgive, to let go, to let you heal their hearts, and you become that mother or that father that was needed. Heal our inner children that are inside of us. Many times we forget that he's there. Heal our souls and bless us, Lord, with the sight to see the truth all the time. Help us to remain in prayer, putting you first in all our matters, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.